So this story, you know, certainly has been around for a long time, but now we have a new player, obviously, on the block in terms of CAR T therapy in the United States. It's actually approved for diffuse large B-cell. Can you talk about your take on what we know about CAR T? And you know, thinking back to this case, if you could, where do you see CAR T is going to fit into a case like this?
So I'm really glad you brought that up because obviously that is one of the most topical things going on right now in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. So the first CAR T-cell product was approved for relapse refractory diffuse large B-cell lymphoma by the FDA. Now is becoming available in the United States as a potential option for a patient like this. Sitting in Canada, unfortunately, we're in a bit of a limbo state where we don't have it yet available. So going back when I was managing this patient just before the new year, you know, it's not something that I could have offered him. I think that this is the kind of patient that would be a very desirable approach for, because there are patients treated within those CAR T-cell trials who, despite not responding to chemotherapy and not responding to salvage therapy, did go on to receive CAR T-cell with excellent benefit and durable benefit. So I think we're still in early days with the CAR T-cell information. So it does look like a proportion of patients with very chemotherapy-resistant diffuse large B-cell lymphoma can potentially get good benefit from CAR T-cell therapy, and some patients actually can achieve a complete remission and durable responses. But a lot of the data is still early, meaning that we have relatively short follow-up. At the most recent ASH meeting, we actually saw several of these trials reported, including an update of the trial, which does reflect the product that's now been approved on the market in the FDA. And if you look at their data, you know, across the board, about 40% of patients were able to achieve a sustained complete remission at the time of their last evaluation. So that, when you think about it, is quite remarkable. I mean, for a patient like this, I don't have anything that I could take off the shelf that I would be confident would provide him with any kind of durable benefit. And to think that a CAR T-cell approach might offer him a 40% chance of benefit is quite remarkable. So I think that would be a strong goal and motivation. The one caveat I would state is that for many of the CAR T-cell trials, in order to participate, because it does take a while from the time the patient is sort of initiated along the path to CAR T-cell to actually create the CAR T-cell product, so approximately a 3-week duration from start to finish to getting the product available, patients do have to have some disease stability, I think, going into that procedure. So in the patient that I'm talking about, I think that given the aggressiveness of his disease, it's unlikely we could have kind of gone straight on to CAR T-cell therapy. I think he would have needed something as a lead-in. The trials that we've seen with the product that's been approved, those trials did not allow for lead-in chemotherapy to develop. So I think there was some patient selection going on there. These were perhaps patients that had achieved some disease stability, where some of the other trials allowed for chemotherapy lead-in. But ultimately, if you have a patient that has disease that's very much out of control, you're going to need to use something to get them into control to, I think, lead into the CAR T-cell approach.
Where do you see a CAR T-cell therapy sort of landing after the trials get done? And I guess one thing that I've heard about that is very interesting, I've heard people talk about, is the idea that maybe in the future we're going to do it before transplant or in lieu of transplant, and even potentially upfront in patients with very poor outcomes such as double hit. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, so I think, you know, again, this is relatively new technology and we're learning more all the time about its potential. But I think what's really enticing here is that the data we have so far shows that there are some patients who have failed our standard approaches, including autologous stem cell transplant, and have achieved remarkable durable benefit from CAR T-cell. So it does beg the question of whether or not it could challenge autologous stem cell transplant in terms of being either a better approach or equal but maybe less toxic approach down the road. So there is a study planned, at least one study that I'm aware of, that will actually sort of pitted against stem cell transplant, where patients will be, at the time of relapse, randomized to our standard salvage and autologous stem cell transplant approach versus CAR T cells. And I think, you know, it'll take that randomized controlled trial to answer that question of whether or not it should be done ahead of a stem cell transplant. It also begs the question for patients like the double hit scenario that we talked about, where we know those patients are quite chemotherapy insensitive, whether or not using this as an approach earlier might offer, you know, a modality that they can achieve benefit from. So these are all questions that need to be explored, but they really need to be explored within the context of clinical trials.